and welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's game against Alloa, preview the visit of FC Edinburgh this Saturday, and the Scottish Cup campaign gets underway next month. We'll see who we've been drawn against. Yes, this is the Blue Tune Podcast once again. Hi, I'm Colin Byers, and with me, as ever, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are we this week?
Not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. Just a week off, so I'm back to work, so tired already, need another break.
You've been back for a rest.
One day back, and that's me back already, so all good. Bit of news. News as such, really, but the Scottish Cup draw was made earlier on today. We've been drawing against Queen's Park. Not really entirely sure what to make of the draw. It's not a draw that's really exciting as such. It's not a glamour tie. It's not a tie that we reckon we can go there, thinking 100% we're in to win it. I'm not really. I might get more excited nearer the time, but it wasn't just the. Of the ties we could have gotten, it wasn't the best.
Yeah, like you said, it's not quite a glamorous tie, is it? But, it's a game that you've got to be looking at cup competitions. They're not quite worth bread and butter, that's the league. But, it's something different for the players. It's a different occasion. As daft as it sounds, you're only a couple of games away from being in the latter stages of it. So, our perspective might be slightly different when it comes around the end of next month.
That's the one thing we could probably think of, is that if we somehow manage to win that game, you're into the fourth round draw, which then obviously brings into the Premier League teams. And as we saw last season, although it was the fifth round we got Dundee, it does then add an extra bit onto the actual tie.
Yeah, like you said, the next round, if we do get through it, you get the Premiership teams coming in, you can get a glamour away tie, or you could get a really good home tie. It's one of them, you're looking further ahead, but do you want the home tie against a big team, or do you want a smaller team and then chance of progression? But first of all, we've got Queen's Park to take care of, and the season that they're having and the season that we're having would suggest it'd be a one-way affair. But, that's next month. We've got a few games in between then and now.
Yeah, we'll have a bit of an in-depth preview into that nearer hand of time. One other thing I want to mention before we sort of get into the Saturday's game. Football Manager Beta is out. Bound to be somebody listening to this who is a fan of Football Manager and of Peterhead. I put a tweet a week or so ago, or a couple of weeks ago, saying that was my research done for it, or as much as I can do before my deadline was over. So anybody who's got the Beta, who's playing as Peterhead, is a supporter of Peterhead, wants to give me any feedback on it, wants to let me know what's right, what's wrong, what could be different. Because this season has been, as you can imagine, it's probably been the hardest trying to get players nailed down. It's a lot of players, like Enoch, who we've only seen once before the debut, the deadline was up. Somebody like Lauren Van Rooy, haven't even seen him yet. So these are based on other people's stuff. So, just putting that out there. If anybody's interested, let me know.
Well, I had a chance to look through it today. I gave you a message earlier on as well. There's a few stats that I think are right, that they're bang on. Obviously, it's difficult, as you said. A lot of new players are coming this year. You're trying to base off information from previous years as well. And some players we've never... we've never seen a 4-year, sort of looking off YouTube highlights and trying to scramble about for a wee bit of research. But on the whole, I think the media prediction for Peterhead is ninth. I had a look. I'm going to assume it's maybe Clyde's predicted to finish bottom. I think
Clyde would be 10th, I would say, yeah.
But if anybody does keep Peterhead up with the team that we've got in Football Manager, it would be interesting to see.
Because I've struggled, let's put it that way.
Right, okay, well, if you've struggled, then you've done the research.
I've struggled. It can be quite... it can pull your hair out sometimes. But so if anybody's want to give me feedback on it this particularly this year. Greatly appreciated on that. We'll go into last week. We actually asked you about your random meets or meeting footballers in strange places and things like that. And I've actually been scratching my head with this one because although we've met or I've met players, usually it's at events, you know, like a corporate or a sportsman's dinners and things like that. So you know you're going to meet them. So I was kind of thinking, oh, I've got nothing for this one until Thursday. And now this could be as random as you could get. Thursday, Dundee, Asda. Now that's it's even more random being down there in the first place. We met Paul Sheeran outside putting his trolley away.
And as you do.
And it turns out he was parked two cars down for us as well. So we did the place and hello, and sort of thought that was it. But then we end up walking in the same direction.
I don't know why I've just got this image, but Mickey Flanagan years ago did a DVD, the awkward stage when you meet someone more than three times in a day. Mm. And I just got that image of you both walking in your car, oh, we meet again, sort of thing.
Because you think the pleasant race is over, and then you realise, oh, we're actually parked in the same bit. But he dumped his stuff, and then we're like, yeah, going to walk somewhere else, or was just wanting to get away from me. That might have been the case.
I went back 20 minutes later for the rest of the shopping.
just circling around Asda, make sure I was away. Yourself, have you met anybody in a random kind of place?
Murdo McLeod, many years ago. I think it was a family holiday. We were away to Spain. And it was Glasgow Airport. I met Murdo McLeod. You know, back then it was a sign in the back of a beer mat. One of them things folk would take in. But it's probably a bit, like you said, other than events that you know you're going to meet someone, sportsman dinners and what likes. But no, that'd probably be my only one, really.
I think living up here as well, it gets a bit more difficult because obviously if you're in the central belt, you're more likely to run into to people, or you could be in a family holiday in Spain, right enough.
This is very true.
A few come in with these. Graham McLean, because he works in the trains, he's met a few. Rob Douglas, Colin Hendry, Andy Gorham, Gordon Smith, Mark McGee. He's all met to name a few, he says. And he's even seen Jim McAnally on his way to watch an opponent on a midweek game. Fantastic job, I would say, if you're into that kind of thing. Obviously, you never know who you're going to meet on the trains.
I bet you there'll be a few stories to tell in train journeys as well. You know, ex-players and professionals and whatnot, there'll be a fair few stories to come out for Graham, I'd imagine.
Jason Argo, I bumped into Brian Irvin in CNAs. I literally bumped into him, he says. And then his mother gave him trouble for apologising for bumping into him. Peter Harris, he says he's met Dennis Law when he was on a lifeboat visit. I'm assuming that would have been a fair few years ago.
Yeah.
Billy Bruce met Charlie Cook when he was only 17, and he posted a picture on I think it was on Facebook as well, which is a really good picture. Keith Leslie made a great day and night in the company of the late Neil Cooper and his entire team when he took his newly crowned third division champions Ross County to Shetland for a few matches. Absolutely hilarious stories all through his career. Really nice guy too, and I think that's fairly consistent. You know, anybody that speaks about Neil Cooper and guys that we've spoken to that played under him when he was at Peterhead, manager, all says the same thing. Really hilarious, really funny guy, really nice guy, and I think he's sadly missed anyway.
Oh, absolutely! The stories that come out with his passing, was it two years ago now? Three?
Something like that.
Time flies. pardon me. Yeah, the stories that come out about Neil, a lot of really good, funny stories that were mentioned by mainly ex-Everdeen players and managers and whatnot. But yeah, some really good stories. A very likable guy.
Neil Thompson met Robbie Rayside outside Tannadice before a cup tie. He met Cammy Kerr at a Stirling Albion game as well. And then, even more randomly, Doug Rugby on a chopper to go offshore.
As you do.
Norman Green seen Diego Forlan and Luis Suarez in a hotel in Jordan, where I worked there. That's too... Like, you wouldn't see them very often, but I'd be interested to see why he was working in Jordan as well. And he was there in Jordan. to be working away. That's,
exactly.
I'd give us a bit more details on that, will you, please? Barry Evans says he's seen Mark Simpson in a restaurant and sat next to him, at a table next to him, I should say. And he also met Morris Edu when he was at the Philadelphia Union. He ran into him at Penn Station in New York. He said hello and wished him luck for the next game, which Edu got sent off. Dave, he says, Dave on Twitter says, a long time ago he bumped into Scott Murray in a queue at the old Chipper in Mittler. He near long signed for Aston Villa and was back up in the North East. A few famous folk have come from Mittler.
That's very true. Aye, you just got to drop your own name in. No.
Scott Finlay, he met Paul Jarvie in Sports Direct, Stephen Noble in Asda, and then he met Rory McAllister, Scott Ross, Jordan Brown, Ryan Strachan in Club Tropicana.
Oh, there's a story to tell there, isn't
there? I would say. And do you care how much the drinks are in Club Tropicana?
I couldn't even tell you the last time I was in there, to be honest.
Oh, the drinks in Club Tropicana, they're free.
Oh, my word. Under that note... Jeez.
I've been dying. I was dying to come in. I thought you were going to set him up. There.
How long have you been sitting on that one? 4 days.
I didn't come in a while ago.
Jeez.
Right.
This podcast fairly game doing hell.
Right. We'll take it down a notch. We'll speak about Saturday's game.
Jeez.
So, thanks for Abdi. It sent in those. By the way, I know we're going to get a little bit distracted in the end there, but good to get a few of those in. So, as I said, Alloa's game on Saturday ended up being a 2-0 loss. What was your kind of take on it overall of the game?
Well, it's a game, firstly, very frustrating to lose. I don't think Alloa were actually that good, if I'm being honest. But also, I don't think we did enough at the top end of the pitch. I've spoken about it for a while now. Very disjointed from midfield, top. Again, the lack of a recognised striker doesn't help. But that's up to Jim and Davey to sort out with the players we've got to make sure that we're ready for it. But I thought the performance was better than what we've seen. Disappointing that we didn't get nothing from it, but ultimately it's still another game gone by, another game without a goal, and another game without any points on the board.
Obviously, that is a worry, the lack of a forward player or an out-and-out goal scorer. It's now four games on the bounce now without scoring. Previously to that, at the start of the season, obviously, that was the League Cup. We went five without scoring before we scored against Clyde. It is a worrying run, but as you said, it did look as though there was a little bit a better a performance. I mean, you know, just looking at the stats, I mean, we had 8 shots on goal, which is, you know, a lot more than what we've been having previously.
Yeah, there's a definite sign of improvement. It just is frustrating. Again, I think we've played a few teams at Ballymore this season where I don't think we've been outclassed, outfought or anything. It just is the lack of cutting edge in the final third, link-up play. At times, maybe guilty of trying to pass it too much, one touch too often, trying to get the ball wide. It wasn't going quick enough. But again, that probably comes down to confidence.
Yeah, and... it's something we've said before, and I think you just, Melis touched on it there, about teams coming up here, and they haven't played particularly well, but still coming away with all 3 points, and, you know, Alloa were pretty, I would say, average, to be honest with you. They didn't look as though they were going to cause us too many problems. I think the back five in particular seemed to kind of deal with most things. So, as you said, it's more frustrating that we've come away with nothing. And it's okay saying, yes, it's slightly better, but we are on a really bad run, and maybe getting something out of that game might have been the kickstart that we needed.
Yeah, I think that's why it makes it a bit, well, very frustrating, actually. It's a game where I didn't think we were outclassed or outfought. I thought we did okay, to be fair, but to come away with 0 points again and no goals, it is a bit of a worry. It's now the end of October. The league table doesn't lie. We are now well adrift of eighth place. I think, is it 10 points now on Airdrie? So, yeah, there's a very big gap. Yeah, there are signs of improvement, which is good, but is it a case of maybe a little bit too late? That's my only worry.
It's, you know, we've given everybody almost a head start. And it's near a head start you really want. I think what's helping us is the fact that Clyde have lost eight in a row. Airdrie have hit a bit of bad form as well, and they've slipped from second in the table down to eighth. So, you know, it's those teams that are sort of sticking around with us. Having said that, I mean, if they were winning games or even picking up points, that gap would have been a hell of a lot bigger.
Yeah, the worry is, all it takes now is an Airdrie win and another Peterhead defeat, and that becomes 13 points, which I think 10 is difficult to overcome. I think once it goes 13, then it's a fight for who's going to finish ninth. Again, Clyde's in a really bad run there. They're struggling. We've got to worry about ourselves, and we need to start getting a win somewhere. We need to score goals. The lack of cutting edge up front, you know, it's pretty obvious. There'll be half-decent positions we get into, but you look up and there's nobody in the box. Abdi's outside the box trying to make things work rather than in a runner going on behind, beyond the defence and going in behind.
The lineup, we kind of spoke about it on Saturday, but you look at the lineup, it's 5-3-2 or 5-3-1-1, maybe Dowan O'Keefe switching who was the one up top and sitting behind. It's almost like it's set up not to lose the game. And it's a strange thing to say, but that's what it kind of looked like. It's almost like, right, let's just be difficult to break down. A lot of the players for good spells of the game were all in the Peterhead half, were sitting deep. If the manager had gotten away with a 0-0, I think he would have been happy with that.
Yeah, I think he would have. I sort of get where Jim comes from when he tries to set up the way he did on Saturday, given the form that we're in and, you know, the lack of goals. But after about 20 minutes and you've sort of fed your way in the game, we've spoken about it a lot over the last couple of years, we've tried to feed our way in a game. Once we've done that and we've navigated the first 20 minutes, surely there should then be a change in mindset. All right, we've held our own, we've got through the first 20 minutes, how can we change it to be a positive, you know, a positive change? Because I just feel sometimes we're too reactionary rather than proactive. We'll wait until something's happened, but then go a goal down, potentially two, and then go, right, we'll make a change. Make the change earlier. Try and be on the front foot and try and win the game. I think it's happening enough. Whether Jim feels he's got the quality in the squad today, I don't know. But I think Saturday was a prime example. Maybe players that were sitting on the bench that could have had a positive effect on the game weren't brought on or didn't get long enough. I'd just like to see he's been a wee bit more proactive once we navigate ourselves through, especially the home games, because I think Alloa on Saturday was a prime example of a game that we could have, you know, took a bull by the horns.
Even if it were when we were 1-0 down, I mean, they scored quite early on in the second half. So there's bags of time to try and change things. And as we said during the game, there was no change in the setup. There was no change in the style. We still, you know, still hit five at the back, still hit three midfield, four midfield, wherever you want to look at it. And just maybe waiting for something to happen rather than being reactionary or being proactive and trying to make something happen. And I think you look at the substitutions as well. They were, in the offence to the guys that came on, but unless they were going to change the tactics or change the formation, that was never going to work. That was never going to change the game in your favour.
No, the substitutions for us were too similar. They were too like for like. They were never, as you said, got to change the game. Something we picked up on Saturday, once Alloa went a goal up, it was very shortly after that they made a change. So they were trying to change the game, you know, and affect it in their own way. Whereas we'd gone a goal down, we didn't do anything. We didn't make any changes to start. We were quite happy the way it was, which given the way we played, was okay, and then we concede, I think there has to be a change. There's got to be something that suggests, right, okay, isn't it worked? We're maybe hadn't try to get a draw. That's not working out now. We'll now and then try and go and be on the front foot and bring someone on to change the game. I just think, like, yeah, we're too reactionary rather than being proactive and looking at the game and thinking, how can we affect it going forward?
And surely, as you know, when you've got somebody on the bench, and it will have Salah, for example, Disney, come on, you've only used two subs out of your five. If you deny use all five and you're winning the game, you can, fair enough, you can say, well, that's fine, everybody's playing well, it's fine. But we're losing the game, you've only used two. You've got somebody on the bench, you could probably try and turn things around, maybe on his own. But I just don't understand the substitutions or the lack of changes in a game like that, where, you know, you really need to try and get results going in your favour.
Especially Hevzala. From all we've seen, he's a good player, really talented, but for some reason, I don't know whether there's something happened in training or whether he's carrying a little niggling injury that we're not aware of, but I think he's that creative type of player, that a player that you want to get involved in a game. I certainly think he's a player that could bring you 20, 30 yards further up the pitch. And he's something different that we didn't hate at the moment. He's somebody that certainly seems like he'll carry the ball and get us forward. We've got that in Ryan Dow to an extent. But I just think if Zala's playing, you've also got Prince, he didn't come on. He looked okay in his first couple of games. It appears we've got options. As you said, if you're only using two subs when you're losing the game, I think rightly people will start to question, well, why is an attacking player sitting on the bench when we're not using them?
And these are players that Jim has brought in as well. You know,
yes.
He's brought them in, you know, quite recently. So you would think, well, he thinks that those players that you've mentioned there can add something to the squad. They can, you know, add something to the team. But yet, for some reason, these players seem to be out of the reckoning already.
Yeah, I mean, there's a, just as we were leaving, there was a couple of gentlemen. I want to repeat what they said, but paraphrasing it, it was basically, it's pretty poor that these guys aren't getting brought on when we're not winning the game. So it echoes what you were saying as well. When you're not winning games, people will question why substitutions aren't made, especially when you've got attacking players sitting on the bench. And Ryan Strachan came on as well, a defensive player. Again, I didn't really see the logic behind it. You're trying to be attacking, try and get something for the game. You bring on the defensive midfielder / defender. Just a couple of things that, we're maybe not aware of the full picture. There could be injuries with the players or Jim's just trying to feed them in. But, you know, they've been here a wee while now. You start to think we've got to use them and get the best out of them.
It was straight changes, as you said. I mean, Jordan come on for Conor O'Keefe. I mean, if Conor O'Keefe's going to play out of position as a forward, but yet you've got Jordan Brown sitting there who can play up there, why when they starting him and playing O'Keefe off him or whatever? And then the other one, was a strange one as well, was Jack Brown coming off, who I thought was playing really well as normal. And then, as you said, it was Ryan Strachan that came on. So it was another baffling one, but as you said, there could be other things. Like Jack could have been injured, but it certainly didn't look as though he was carrying anything.
No, when he came on, he did well. Again, there may be a slight niggles that players have got, but you know, you would think you'd read about that in the match report. Again, you might say the manager doesn't want to give away too much, but you know, these are the things that I can understand why folk are questioning. I heard, I'll just mention about the two gentlemen there. There was other comments made as well, but you know, people are starting to question, and I think that's maybe just a sign that, you know, the performance was okay. People weren't criticising the performance. I think a few folk actually says, well, it's an improvement on what we've seen, and I agree. But you just, I think that's going to be one of them games we're going to look back on. We might look back at the end of the season and go, there's a few games, what ifs, and I certainly think that'll be one of them.
We did have the ball in the net through David Wilson. There was, I think initially, live at the game, we thought it was offside. Then there was a bit where he was definitely on. But I think what we've seen from Alawa's highlights on the Sunday, and very good highlights as you normally get from Alawa. It looks as though it's Conor O'Keefe who's been flagged for being offside.
Yeah, he did look offside. I think we sort of picked up on it on Saturday. To us, he looked offside. There's maybe different angles that folk have seen that maybe thought that he was on. But to me, I've seen it at the time, thought he was off. I've seen the highlights back as well. Yeah, I'm still sort of agreeing with the officials, which doesn't normally happen.
And there wasn't much complaint for the Peterhead players either, which would suggest that, you know, maybe that the decision was right.
Yeah, you sort of get an idea from a decision happens whether they feel it's right or not. And then, as you said, I think there was much appeal, maybe Connor to a slight extent, but even then it was a half-hearted appeal.
Jason Brown had the captain's armband again. And I think, you know, we've been screaming for, literally screaming, but I mean, we've been shouting for somebody to take the sort of bull by the horns during a game, and Jason was certainly trying to do that early on in the first half, midway through the first half, picking up the ball and, you know, making a run into the box and almost created a chance for himself or for a teammate. But that's what we're kind of looking for from a player. Just somebody just to say, right, let's try something different here.
Yeah, that's what I'm sort of looking for Ryan Dow and O'Keefe. Jack Brown as well. If you've got a defensive midfielder playing with these guys have got to go on beyond the striker and make something happen. If we don't have a recognised striker, you've got to go out there and try and help, try and support, make the runs, overlaps, fullbacks getting in behind. These things all interlink. And Jason Brown, he took the bull by the horns, mentioned it a few minutes ago, but he got forward, tried to make something happen. Unlucky, nothing really came off with it. But, you know, it's good to see players trying to do something different and trying to get something.
It's maybe the ideal player to be in that position. Maybe it swears, you know, maybe a bit of a nosebleed situation there. But as I said, it's, you know, you're wanting somebody to do something, and that gave us a lift. It gave the everybody else a lift as well. And you think, right, okay, they're actually here for the taking a bit here.
Wait, I mentioned that a few weeks ago. Personal pride, and I got something that Jason certainly got. He, by far, he is very frustrated with it. We've seen him pretty sure of it. He'll be disappointed with the goals he concedes. He's, you know, he's a very proud man, but if you see things like that, he's got that determination and drive inside him that he wants to make something happen and change the game for the better. And if we've got a few more guys, his character will rub off on other guys, and you're hoping that that's what tries and pulls him through.
The manager, Oliver manager Brian Rice, after the game, he said that they had a stonewall penalty. Which I think is maybe a bit of an exaggeration. That was the one early in the second half. I think he's gone. The guy's going through. He's sort of, I don't know if he's miscontrolled or it was a heavy touch, but it's going through. I think David Wilson is wrong with him, and he's going down. But I think I said to you during the game, I think that's it's too heavy a touch for the referee to even consider it being a penalty.
Stonewall penalty.
Stonewall penalty.
Hey, I'm not going to argue with Brian Rice, but you know he's back in an aloe and new, so I'll argue with him now. That's not a stonewall penalty. If you're giving them as penalties, you're going to be getting a hell of a lot of penalties. It's the same with set piece and corners, Jocelyn pulling the box. You're not going to get them as much as you think you will. No, I agree with the referee on the day. Which, so I thought he'd had an okay performance, to be fair, at the referee. He is quite card happy, but it didn't appear to be the case on Saturday, to be fair to him. But no, I agree with him. The referee on that occasion, that's not a penalty.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was one of these quieter games, which is what you want to see from a referee. You don't want to see him sort of taking the limelight too much. What the opening goal from Targat, 54 minutes. From an Alava perspective, really good goal, really good football. From a Peterhead point of view, it's such a poor goal to concede. A couple of passes, and then he's into the 18-yard box with a free effort on goal.
Yeah, from Alava's point of view, it's good play, it's well worked, but from your point of view, it's so poor, it's not tracking the runner. Which is why I want your players to run on beyond the striker, because it's very difficult to mark. Like you said, it was a good finish and all of it would be delighted, but from our point of view, it's poor.
I don't think it was Wilkie's best game since he's come in. I mean, he's set a really good high standard since he has come in, but I think here he's let his runner go, because obviously that's doing his side. Targat's played the ball and he's almost a sort of, I think he's trying to hand him off to somebody else, but he's really got to he's got to go with the runner. That's something he'll obviously he'll hope he's going to learn as the games go on.
Yeah, he'll pick a lot up with experience as the season goes on. But yeah, he's trying to pass them on by looks of it, and it's not quite worked too. But that's the sort of situation where you follow the man in, you deal with the situation, you defend it, and then you analyse it after, thinking, right, I was hoping to pass on you, bloody blah, this is why I didn't. But just deal with it, and, you know, Lahana, and that's how they've got their first goal.
And after that, we've said before as well, I wouldn't say that the heads have dropped, but you just didn't feel as though there was enough commitment going forward. You didn't think as though, right, okay, we're a goal doing here, but we can still get someone out of this.
Yeah, it's strange. I didn't feel that they were that deflated. I think the confidence, because I thought the performance was okay, it was decent, but once they got their goal, you could just see players looking around each other thinking, oh, here we go, you know, we've got to score two to win the game. And when you're not scoring goals, that's when it becomes difficult. We had this situation last season with a poor run, but we're still scoring goals. And you thought, well, your eye's got a chance of getting something out of the game. And as you said, you know, leading into that game, it was three without a goal. It's now four. And as soon as you can see that goal, it makes it very difficult.
Yeah. Their second one was obviously a massive deflection. But if you look at the goal again, it comes from us losing possession in our own half. So it's another goal from our own doing, really. Okay, some folks say, well, the luck's against us. But having said that, as I said, you know, we've lost possession in our own half. So, you know, if it had done that, we would have conceded that goal.
Yeah, it's that expression. If you don't buy a lottery ticket, you win a win. They've taken the shot. Okay, it's been deflected, but it's gone in the back of the net. Whereas we're maybe too guilty enough of not trying an effort on targeting, running down maybe two efforts on Saturday, and you just think, well, a bit more conviction in it. Yeah, all of his goals is deflected, but, you know, they've been willing to take the shot. It's a bit of a distant suit, but, yeah, they've got the luck's there with us at the moment, but you make your own luck.
You mentioned that the efforts there, as I said, we had eight shots, three on target. Obviously, the three on target, one was Willis Simbi's header, which was obviously which resulted in Wilson's effort being chalked off, and then Ryan Dow hit one, which was one. It frustrated me on the day, and I think I tell you that as well.
yep.
I know he's 18 yards out. We're 1-0 down, and he tries to dink the keeper for just outside the box. Just try and get a decent effort on goal. It's okay, well and good, doing that kind of things when you're maybe 2-0 up or 3-0 up or something like that, and things are going well. But it's not what you're needing at this stage.
No, my personal opinion is too blasé. It's brilliant if it comes off. You look fantastic. Whether you've seen Conor O'Keefe the other week trying a few long ranges and it coming off and thinking, yeah, it might work potentially, but that stage in the game as well. I was still 0-0, so, you know, just get a good connection, mind it, make the keeper work, call it, the keeper's done is take two steps back and put his hands up and he's caught it just under the bar. It was never really got a trouble to keep it either. Like you said, it's good if you're 2-3-0 up and you're doing well in the game, but the form that we're on, I just think it was a wee bit too blasé, but at the same time, if it comes off, it's a really good goal.
And one other thing that we have been saying as well is taking efforts from Rangers as well. Julian Carey, he had won. Hewitt had won first half as well. We're starting to see these guys coming in and sort of saying, you know, we'll take efforts on, we'll try something different. I mean, Carey's one second half was a whisker away for the goal. So, you know, another day that might goes in, but that's the kind of thing that just kind of lifts you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned luck. If the deflection doesn't go in and Ryan Dowes comes off and Julian Carey's effort goes in, it's all ifs, buts and maybes, but it's probably the stage of that in terms of the luck. But, you know, I'll never criticise players in terms of trying to make something happen and taking efforts. Okay, if it's 25, 30 yards, yeah, fair dues. Get a good connection on it, get your foot over the ball and try and make something happen, then fair dues. We've seen Scott Brown doing it for a few years at Balmour as well. Put your laces through it, you can get the rewards for it. And that's probably something we're looking at. As you said, it's guys that have come in as well, so they're maybe just trying to set that benchmark of, well, let's get shots off. You never know if it can happen. And you're hoping that just sets the benchmark.
And Jason got the man in the match, which I think was deserved. But I actually think in this game there was a few that it's worthy of a mention and played really well. Danny Strachan being one. I think he's done his usual running up and doing the wing there. Carey as well. I think we're starting to see him improving game on game. Mentioned Jack earlier on. A few folk had mentioned Enoch as well. You know, there was a few individual performances there, but you know, just collectively, maybe going forward, is where we're lacking.
Probably, yeah. But I think that's shown you the improvement that there has been. Times we've left Balmoore and thinking, no, there's been very little players that we get past marks, but you've rattled off four there. You know, that were potentially worthy of man of the match. So again, that we're now maybe just starting to see. Maybe things are gelling, maybe, but again, it's still no points and no goals. That's the bread and butter of it, the bottom line. That needs to change soon.
I did think Wallace Simbi had a good game. He looks fairly solid, but I did wonder why he was the man. He was man marking Connor Salmon and Nate Jason, because obviously we know Jason's really good at coming up against, you know, these kind of stronger kind of guys. Big strapping guys, and has a history of keeping Connor Salmon quite quiet. So I just wondered what maybe was the thinking there, do you think?
I think the only thing I can think of is if he's man marks Connor Salmon, then Jason's getting moved about and he's not playing in the centre. That could be the only thing. If you try and man mark it, then Jason's pulled away, it leaves runners, then you've got Davey and Enoch together. Potentially that's maybe the only thing. I think Salmon does like to pull off wide as well. He wanna, you know, if he's man-marked against someone who will drift wide, you see it set pieces as well, he'll switch angles to try and make it better. So that's probably the only reason I can think of, that he's maybe trying to put Davey on web. So if Davey's moving, that's okay, and Jason can go in and cover rather than Jason being the player that's moving.
Yeah, and I think David Wilson is one of those players that just sort of flies under the radar quite a bit. Doesn't get the recognition that he maybe deserves, but does really well. You know what you're going to get from him. And does seem to play well when he's playing alongside Jason.
I think Davey gets a hard time at times, to be fair. I think, okay, Andy McDonald's injured, but I think there was questions for him to be dropped a few weeks ago. Davey's back for injury, so I don't see any reason why he couldn't play. He does nothing wrong. Yeah, like I said, sort of flies under the radar, but a solid defender.
Right, we'll get to some of your comments. So, as you can imagine, there's a few come in again. Louise Cardinal, we'll go with her one first. We didn't deserve to lose today. Such a good performance, just nothing happening in front of goal, which is a pity. Enoch Wilkie and Wilson hardly put a foot wrong the whole game, and yet none in the mix for the man of the match. Anyhow, despite the loss, it was an encouraging performance and deserved something from their efforts. Some of that comments that I think would agree with what some of we've said, you know, it was an encouraging performance.
Yeah, an encouraging performance. Deserve something from it. Yeah, probably. The only thing that the flip side is, did we do enough to get something from it? We've conceded two goals, but did we do enough to go and score and get something out of the game as well? I think defensive-wise, okay, midfield okay, it's that lack of cutting edge up front, which, you know, every club would tell you, a striker in this division that will score you 15-20 goals is brilliant. And this is maybe where people have said in the past that when Rusty comes back, he could make the difference. Based on fantasy on Saturday, there is genuine signs of improvement, so Rusty coming back, you know, hopefully sooner rather than later, it could be a good thing.
Sean Beattie thought Jason was brilliant at the back. Thought they should have brought on Ramez Afzala up top for the last 20 minutes. Again, something we'd mentioned as well already. Graham McLean, things seem to be going against us. We just have to keep going. Had our goal not been ruled off, offside, things could have been different. We played a hell of a lot better, so much so there were several contenders for sponsors man of the match, which we've already said. Again, kind of echoing what's been said earlier.
Yeah, definite signs of improvement. The luck's in the way. Yeah, we need to keep going, but we also need to get points on the board as well and start scoring goals. Whether that point comes from a 0-0 gives us our foundation to build on, yeah, I would take it, but we need to start getting the wins on the board.
Will Roberts, Hef Salah had to come on. I do actually think we were okay today. Will Asimbi and Brown look a good partnership. Carey is decent. That said, we look miles off it against most clubs in the league, and the players are coming back won't elevate us to the required standard. It's sad, but I think it's curtains. Taking on what you said there about Rusty, I think you've mentioned a couple of times in the last few weeks, you know, Rusty coming back and McCarthy coming back, is that enough to, as Will says, is it enough to elevate us to this required standard, because we're so far behind already?
No, I don't think it's enough just them two players coming back to elevate us. I think everybody needs to up their game. However, there's been a benchmark set on Saturday. Yes, okay, it's made points, but if you put the positive spin on it, it was a good performance, didn't get down from the game, but there's genuine things maybe just starting to work, things starting to click, match fitness and whatnot coming, team cohesion. Getting these players back wouldn't be a bad thing, but they need players in about them. I think Hevzawa, if he came in as well, if you had Andy McCarthy, Julian Carey, you've then got McLean up top. Yeah, there's potentially something, but yeah, probably agree. Is it curtains? I think if we're sitting here in a month's time and the gap's still 10 points, even worse, then potentially a different conversation would be had.
Yeah, sure, Fraser. It really doesn't look as though we could have a chance on beating any of these teams in the league, apart from Clyde. Basically, it's a two-horse race to who will get ninth. And even if getting ninth, and we've said already, getting ninth doesn't guarantee you're going to stay up, because League Two, the sides in League Two are probably just as strong as the teams in the bottom half of League One.
Right, it's not a given if you finish ninth that you're going to beat the team in for League Two. It's very difficult, more competitive than it is, you know, last 3-4 years. But yeah, it's difficult trying to beat the teams that's in your division. I certainly think if we finish ninth come the end of April, as we record now, I'd probably take it. But that doesn't mean it's been a good season.
Jason Argo had every opportunity to take the game by the scruff of the neck, but we didn't use 2 of 5 substitutions, and the two didn't seem to make any difference. Well beaten by an average team, getting to the point where I'm now not looking forward to the football on a Saturday. That's quite a statement.
I agree with it all, apart from the comment of well beaten. Yeah, I mean, okay, if you look at the black and white of it, no goals, you've lost to Nolta. An average Alloa team, but I certainly think there was a more signs of positivity than there has been the last couple of weeks. But yeah, he's right. Only using 2 substitutions, 2 of the 5. It's difficult to say we should be winning games when you kind of, if you're not going to make the substitutions to change it.
When I go into the mar, but just a few here: Bill McGill, Michael Wilson, Scott Wood, Christopher Bruce, Paul Ratley have all basically said the same thing, that, you know, they've been supporters of Jim for a long time. Michael Wilson even said he doesn't want to jump onto the bandwagon, but he's starting to agree with those that are saying it's time for Jim to go. There are obviously still a few folk are still back in the team, back in the manager as well. But we mentioned last week or week before, there is a bit of a shift in some people's kind of thoughts. I mean, Chloe Hardy just basically put in 2 words, Jim out was one, and that was pretty blunt. But we kind of get a waft of the fact that this is the worst start to a Peterhead season we've joined the league, and I've been looking back as well, and I think it could possibly be Peterhead's worst start to a league campaign in the club's entire history, including the Highland League days as well. So, you know, it has been a really ropey start. It's been a really bad start. We can sit here and say yes, we could, that was a better performance, but you know, to kind of get a waft of the fact that we're only sitting on 5 points after the first 12 games.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know, I'm not going to sit here and say that 70 minutes against Alloa from we looked okay and decent is going to change my mind. I've said to you a few times now my thoughts. I think there's a change needed somewhere. But that's got to come for the top and throughout the club. Things just aren't quite working. There has been a change. You know, you asked people in July for their comments and asked them now. I think there would be a chunk, I'm not saying majority or anything, but I certainly think there is a growing set of supporters that are looking for change. Some folk have even said that, you know, that they're not willing to go back until things change. So I think when people start voting with their feet and their hard-earned cash, I think that's when, you know, the club might take notice. But this is what we've got at the moment. When you get behind the team, as difficult as it may be for some, but yeah, we need to try and see a light at the end of the tunnel. But when you've got a 10-point deficit to the team in eighth, I can see why people are questioning.
Yeah, and as you said, you know, people start voting with their feet. You know, the attendance on Saturday was just over 400, which I think is the lowest of the season so far, lowest for a while as well. So maybe that's the start of it. You know, maybe start our folk are just starting to stay away from it a little bit, which we hope isn't the case.
Yeah, I mean, we've mentioned that a couple of weeks back, the cost of living crisis. You've also, I mean, it's now the realms, for some people, there's only now 2 monthly pays before Christmas as well. So, you know, are you really wanting to put your hard-earned cash into not being entertained? We've got to remember it's an entertainment as well. There was a comment there a few minutes ago, somebody's now looking forward to their Saturdays. I'd imagine there would be quite a few now that think, well, if it's a point of getting a ball, are we being entertained? Are we likely to see goals? And if you're being honest, the answer to both of them is no. So would you shell out 15, 20 quid?
And the cost of a pint's going up as well. It slowly goes up as well.
Cost of energy crisis. There's a crisis at the bar as well. £10 doesn't get you 3 pints now.
No, okay. Did you say 2 monthly payments until Christmas? Jesus.
I was paid last week, so now I've got 2 left until Christmas.
God, I did a press minute on email. let's go into to this Saturday's game then. We are at home again, this time to FC Edinburgh, who seem to be flying high at the minute. A team, I think you've said in the past, has surprised you in terms of where they're at in the league. They're currently sitting second in the table, 1 point off of Dunfermline at top.
Yeah, I hands up. I thought there had been a battle with us and Clyde near the bottom. I got 2 teams right. I just got Edinburgh wrong. I did think after 7-8 games that they'd maybe start almost a bit like Airdrie. The league would start to settle down and Edinburgh would start to come down. They've proved me wrong. And yeah, by all accounts, they're a good team to watch if you can see the game at their own stadium.
We've got the binoculars for your Christmas. They've got 1 loss in the last 5, which was against Dunfermline. So had they not lost that, they could have been, certainly would have been top of the table. They are the highest scorers in the league. We are the worst defence in the league. Bodes well, I guess, and defensively as well. Only Dunfermline, Montrose, Falkirk have conceded less. So. You know, it will be a tough task. It will be a tough ask. They're obviously flying high. We are struggling a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to Saturday. I'm gonna be that person that commented just it was Jason 5 minutes ago. Yeah. Not looking forward to Saturday. I think the way that Edinburgh play as well, it's quite expansive. Football's quite open. They would rather win a game 5-4 than 1-0. Seems to be their philosophy. So. A very, very hard game for us. It's one of them that the tactics and the personnel's got to be absolutely spot on. And I think if there's any chance that, you know, Edinburgh's going to come up and be quite happy to settle back and let us dictate the ball, I think we're mistaken. I think they're going to really try and dominate, turn the screw on us early. And the worrying thing for me would be is if they take an early lead, you know, the floodgates could open.
Yeah, Daniel Harding, handling, I should say, and John Robertson, both top scorers in the league with 6. You know, they've got plenty of goals, as I said, but it's spread out between 2 or 3, 4 different players. So there's not maybe necessarily one key man to watch out for, which is for a team who's got to be looks as though they're challenging for a playoff place or even a you know to finish top. you know, to spread out the goals and to have as many people scoring goals as much as they have, will be an advantage when it says as well. But at the back, they're equally as good, so it's going to be difficult for us to try and break them down if we have adopted the same attitude again as we did this past Saturday.
Yeah, home games, the Alloa game in Essendon is going to be completely different. Alloa, you can sort of, they're not in great form, or they weren't in great form. We could try and feed where we're in the game. Edinburgh, I don't think we can go toe-to-toe with them. I think we've got to almost say a formation that doesn't match them, but it sort of counteracts them, thinking, right, okay, if you're going to play two up top, we're going to play a back three with wing-backs, try and feed where we're in the game and try and dictate for there. But I think certainly it's got to be a really uphill. I'd probably go as far as saying it could be one of our most difficult home games that we've had this season.
Andy McCarthy wasn't risked for the Alba game, which would suggest that he maybe will be involved at some capacity on Saturday. I asked you this question last week, ask you again. Would you start him or would you take him off the bench at some point in the game?
Well, given the fact that he wasn't coming off the bench on Saturday, I would still play him 15, 20 minutes. I certainly wouldn't be starting him. You know, what is another week, another game, just feed him back into contention. I would put him on the bench, take him on the last 10, 15 minutes, and then assess it in training the following Tuesday, and then he might be ready to go the week after, but I certainly wouldn't be starting him.
Is he the player that we're needing at this stage, though? You know, obviously we know what he is in midfield. Dogged in midfield, you know, he'll get tackles and he'll be getting people's faces, which is all well and good. Maybe that will spark things a little bit, but it's the other end of the park that we're really struggling, though.
Yeah, I think him coming back is never going to be a bad thing, but I think we're desperately lacking somebody up top. You know, the players that we've got, you could argue there's a quality issue there, but I think the link-up play as well. I think if you've got Andy McCarthy coming back and then you had Ryan Dow with Russell McLean as well, I think it could work. We could look a lot better, but I think we're at least a month off the Rusty back anyway, so you certainly can't be sitting here in November with 5 points and thinking we're still going to stay up.
Because then the pressure just gets mounted even more on top of Rusty to,
yeah, exactly,
to,
yeah,
to start scoring goals and winning this game single-handedly, which isn't going to be the case. We mentioned in the comments there, a couple of folk have mentioned how Salah didn't come on. Is this a game that he should be starting this one?
Yeah, I'll never say no to him starting. Like I said, I think he's a player that can get you 15, 20 yards further up the pitch. In a game that I think we're not getting much of the ball, he could be a good outlet. I certainly think if you've got him playing, Julian in midfield, potentially Ryan Strachan as well, trying to break things up, that could be the route to go down. Hafsala might be able to link things a bit better if you've got Dow or O'Keefe up front as well. So I can't see many negatives for me starting them, to be honest.
It goes without saying that we really need to get somebody this game. But going into November, you know, we're back-to-back away games after this. It's going to be difficult to pick up points away from home. So, you know, trying to get an unlikely point out of this game might just be what we need.
Yeah, as unlikely as I think it might be, the positivity, and you would say, well, it's a home game, we've got to try and do something. But having said that, I mean, this is also the team that went down to Dunfermline at 2-0 down and got something from the game. So there is something in them that can do it. We just didn't see nearly enough this season.
And as I said, the back five seems to be the formation that he's going with, or the lineup he's going with. Would you look to change that, or do you think that's how he's going to go again?
I think that's how he'll go on Saturday. I don't think he'll want to change it with the way that Edinburgh play, that quite open, expansive. As you said, there's three players that are, you know, got 5-plus goals. So I think he'll keep it as a back five, and then he might change it throughout the game, depending on what happens. But I think he'll start off certainly the back five or the flat three with the two wing backs.
Might not be looking forward to Saturday, but after Saturday's bye, we might be a little bit happier, do you think?
What, that it's a game less in the season, or that we've got 3 points? Yeah, I mean, look, I say that I'm really looking forward to, like, I'll waken up on Saturday morning and think, right, we can get 3 points for this, because in my mind I'll think that Edinburgh could be complacent, and if it's a windy day we could get something from it. That's the way every football supporter is, to go to the game thinking you're going to win. But it will be difficult, and the, like I said, the team selection and the tactics need to be spot on for the word go.
Okay, joining me now to get a FC Edinburgh perspective from the Citizen Supporters Club, it is Neil Rooney. Welcome back, back on again. How are you?
I'm good, thanks for having me back on. How are you getting on yourself?
Not too bad. Apart from the football, everything else seems to be fine and rosy. You guys are flying at the minute.
The team's actually done really, really well. I was actually there on Saturday for the Airdrie game, which in the first half they played really, really well. Second half was a bit more stale. Airdrie equalised, but they went on to win 3-1. So must be the sign of a good team if you're winning and you're not playing bad. So and you're playing bad, sorry, or not playing to your best. So the guys were pretty good on Saturday.
Are you surprised how well they're doing at this early stage?
Yes. More so because there's more full-time teams in the league and stuff like that. But somebody was saying on Saturday, it was like, remember the Airdrie being like a hybrid, having a bit of both, but there's not got many part-time guys now in their squad either, so I'm very surprised the bulk of the squad was good enough to step up, but the recruitment's been excellent. Fontaine being a calm influence at the back's made a big difference. The goalie looks, the Roy Robbie Much, who's at Falkirk before, looks very good. And even signing the likes of Kieran McDonald, and you know, he looked the part at the weekend. A couple of boys, one of the boys is Del Ferrier, the boy on loan from Hibs, the middle of the park. Boy Jacobs, just the hub. And the boy Craigan played right back at the weekend. And he looked very accomplished, whether it was on Fair Arbroath. So yeah, recruitment's huge for them, and it's been very good, very, very good. So I'm very surprised that they are where they are, but in a pleasant way, I'm surprised that they are where they are. You know, you're only going to beat, they played last week, they'll beat Fermanagh, who are a full time team, expected to run away with the league, probably, you know, so, and they only just got beat off them, you know, so I think they're doing pretty well. If somebody says to you, you're in the playoffs now, and if you beat the playoffs at the end of the season, they'd probably bite your hand off it. Because they're really, I mean, you speak to the chairman and the guys on the board, they're talking about not finishing second bottom. So, you know, it's the first time in a league you want to sustain it and stay there, eh? So, yeah.
Anything eighth and above is a bonus.
It is, especially when it's your first year at that level. You know, it's but as I say, you've got loads of guys in there, like Danny Hanbury, etc., that could probably still be playing in the championship, but playing, living close to Edinburgh and living in the Edinburgh area is a big pull, you know, so these guys don't have far to travel now for a lot of them, you know, and there's a club in Edinburgh that's playing lower leagues. It's all good. It's all good so far on the football front, yeah.
You mentioned winning games or from not playing particularly well. The last time the two sides met, it was the rearranged game in midweek. It was a 2-0 win for you guys. Two late-ish kind of goals. Is that a sign that you are doing well, that you're almost, you know, you keep going for that full 90 minutes? You're not sort of giving up or just settling for a point, maybe?
I think so. I think it's maybe a Maybury trait going back to... I always remember it was a Craig Levein trait the first time he was there. Let's not talk about the second time, but the first time he was at Hearts, you know, his teams really went to the end and really went, you know, the amount of late goals they had and you know, maybe he's probably brought that into his management style. To, you hear Postecoglou saying that a lot at Celtic, it's not a 90-minute game, it's a 95-plus game, you know, so it's made it is. I think that's probably come for the manager and how the manager is, you know, doesn't really... Even makes a couple of changes at the weekend, you go, he's sort of shutting up shop here, but he's maybe preparing that with 2-1 up, he's bringing guys in to maybe sit a bit deeper, and he put on a boy, EG, up front, who had loads of pace, and they just knocked a long ball over the top, because they know they could, and he, you know, there's nothing catching the guy. He's gone, so least management in the games are a lot better, so you've got to give Maybury a lot of credit for it.
And you're the highest scorers in the league at the moment as well, and I think only three teams are have conceded less goals as well. So, you know, both ends of the parkies are really doing well.
It does, you know, everything points in championship winning form, doesn't it? But you've got to pinch yourself with there's two full times, definitely at least two full time teams in that league. It makes a big difference with Dunfermline. You're just expecting Falkirk and that to get there. They're act together at some point, you know. It's you've got to pinch yourself. As I say, it goes back to one thing, it goes back to good recruitment.
Saturday's game, then you're travelling up to Peterhead. Is it maybe a potential banana skin for you? Because you're doing so well, we're doing not so well, shall we say? Is it a potential one for you to maybe come up here? I think it's got to be a bit too easy, or maybe a bit of complacency setting in.
I don't know. I don't think the senior members of the squad will make sure that doesn't happen, and I don't think the manager will have that in his makeup. That I think they'll know, regardless of where they go in this league, that, you know, FC Edinburgh should be underdogs wherever they go because they're new boys in the league. Mm-hmm. So they've been to Peterhead before, which is probably a good thing, you know, to play. Whether a lot of them have played there actually is probably a different story. You know, the team's probably changed a lot since the last time, but it could be a potential banana skin. But, you know, I think there's too many senior statesmen and, you know, guys that have played, like your Kieran McDonald's, your Craigans, and all these guys that have played lower leagues, Jacobs, etc., that they would know not to take their eye off the, you know, eye off the prize sort of thing.
It's about your game management as well, isn't it? Maybe just, you know, it's that old cliche thing about seeing the first 20 minutes through and then the next 20 minutes and just dean it that way.
You've got to act like that, especially, you know, I always feel, regardless of what level of football you're at, it's always the impetus is on the home team, you know, to go out and to go and dictate the game, to try and get the foot in the ball, to make it uncomfortable for their opponents. And, you know, with the back four, back five, depends how they play at the weekend, and the goalie, touch wood, hopefully not giving them the kiss of death, you know, playing so well, you know, it's maybe going to suit them because they've got enough guys that can go and then hit in the break and stuff like that, which will make a difference. So you kind of got that balance between playing at home and playing away. And I think they could be set up slightly different from the weekend to play away from home and punish Peterhead.
And from a fan's perspective, and I guess maybe even for a player's perspective as well, if it's still 0-0 after 65 minutes, the thing is would be not to get too frustrated in trying things that you maybe wouldn't try, and maybe just kind of keep going, plugging away.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think the manager's one for, you know, he comes across very articulate. He certainly does his homework, you know, in his opposition, which is nice to hear. I don't think he's one to just go to a back three and you know, take the two defensive wing backs off and put two attackers on and make it like just three defenders or whatever. I don't think he's too. I do think the team's quite adjustable though. When you look at it, we looked at the weekend and it looked very much like a 4-4 sort of 4-4-2, but more of a diamond sort of. Mm. And maybe when they were attacking and Danny Hanlon played a lot further up, but then, you know, there was at times where they were more flat and Danny just dropped into midfield to pick the ball up and start an attack, and then you had Big Easy running off the defence, etc. So they're quite adaptable as well, so you might see subtle changes through the game, which is nice to see, and it's nice to see that, you know, the manager, etc., doing the homework for these sorts of things.
And good day players that are interchangeable as well, I guess.
Oh yeah, brilliant. I mean, we spoke about being at Ainslie Park and when James McDonough was there, the left-hand side, and probably a lot of left-hand teams in the league would like at the time, a left-hand side of Robbie McIntyre and Callum Crane, because both of them would play, one could play in midfield and one could play left-back. Do you know, it wouldn't really make a difference if one went, the other one filled in, and they were equally as good going forward as well as defending. So there's things like that. You look at Kieran McDonald, he's played full time as well at Hamilton, so dropping into playing left back or playing left wing back and into Lincoln, whoever's in front of him, etc. And having Callum Green, who just seems to play sort of anywhere, which is good. You know, he's played a lot of midfield in the last couple of years as well, so there is a lot of adaptability in that squad, which is great to see. And I think you have to do it at League One, League Two level,
yeah,
probably even to a degree in Scotland in the Championship level, you know. So and the teams do it at the Premier League, I guess, as well, you know, just depending on budgets. So a lot of adaptability in that squad, which is good for them.
Who's the one guy we should be watching out for then? Who's going to be causing us the most problems? I tried to narrow it down to one.
I don't know if I'm not going to spell the guy's name. Is it Delaferri? Is that how you pronounce his name? Boyle probably were 27, playing in the middle of the park. Boyle and Mount Verbs. As my proper allegiance would tell you, I can't believe I'm saying this. He's actually looked quite good. Yeah. Speaking to one of the guys I was with on Saturday, he was saying a lot of his friends, our Hibs supporters, can't believe that he's on loan here. He should be in the Hibs first team. He's a young lad. He's got a lot about him. He'll take the ball off a back four. Quite happy to take it in a tight space and, you know, use his physique to turn a man and stuff like that. And he'll get the attacks going for them and through the middle of the park. And he can shift as well, which is a good asset for him in the middle of the park.
Final question then. What's your score prediction going to be?
I know it's a difficult place to go to. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the social club the last time I was there. It was great. Nice short walk to the ground. It's a bit cold right enough. But I'll go for FC Edinburgh 1-2-0.
Okay, Neil, on that note, we'll wish you well for the rest of the season again. And as I said before, probably catch up with you again at some point. And thanks again for coming on.
No problem. Cheers, Colin. Thanks very much.
So that is it for this week. We do hope you've enjoyed it. Please keep your comments and questions coming in. We do appreciate it. Thank you to Neil from the Citizen Supporters Club for joining me and to Martin Smith for being here as usual. And of course, a huge thank you to you for listening. I've been Colin Byers. We'll be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.